Blog Talk Radio.
Well, listen, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to another episode of the PRF Table. This is the weekly show for the PRF Teaching Ministry. In this month, June 2017, we are focusing on the theme of financial prophecies. Now, last week, Mama, we really talked about introducing just some general questions, some general thoughts or processes that people had in regards to this whole notion of financial prophecies. And so I think I recall last week when we were talking, one of the things that we were just bringing up as an overall theme was who's speaking over your finances. And we know that speaking over your finances is different when somebody's given a prophetic prophecy over your finances. See, I can say I pray that God will bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will open up a window of opportunity for your finances to be blessed. I can speak those things, but those are not financial prophecies. So a financial prophecy sounds a little bit different. Matter of fact, I don't know if we'll go there, but who is speaking from a financial prophetic voice over your finances? It matters. And I just threw the question out there, have you ever been prophesied to about your finances? And that's where we started last week. But here's the kicker. According to the Bible, all of God's prophecies came true. All of God's prophecies came true. And so tonight we are going to just keep on going a little bit under this same umbrella of financial prophecies. And now tonight, Mama, we're going to let us just have a conversation, and we invite others to join into the conversation. And we're going to focus on examining the waiting period.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Examining the waiting period. And so I'll let you go ahead and welcome all of our wonderful, faithful listeners and get out the way while you do that, and then we'll come back together in a few.
Well, thank you, and good evening, my PRF family. So glad that here we are again one more time, and we thank God that we are here one more time. And we just so thankful and grateful for this opportunity to be able to share with you the knowledge, the wisdom, and above all, the understanding, so that we can apply what we have heard into our lives, so we can, prosper according to God's word. So again, we thank you. We appreciate you. Relax and get ready for the show. And with that being said, I will turn that over to Nathaniel Dunlap Jr.
All right. Well, that was the infamous Mary Ann Williams around here at the table. If you're new, we just call her Mama. And I'm Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. I'm proud of the junior part of my name. So, Mama, let's get into it. We're going to talk about examine the waiting period. This is what we want people to think about tonight. And we're going to allow the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 41, as well as Genesis 47, to guide our conversation, which will be transformed into dialogue throughout the whole month of June. Genesis chapter 41 and also Genesis chapter 47. Now, let me go back to something that we mentioned or kind of touched on last week. Last week we focused specifically on prophecies in general.
Yeah.
See, if we're going to talk about financial prophecies, but you don't have any understanding about prophecy in general, then everybody will be able to say stuff to you and you'll believe it.
Yes.
So let's get some. We got to get some foundation, because we have the ability to get some foundation of these various things that are in the Bible that people are expecting, that people are saying to one another, that you're telling somebody else, this is what thus say the Lord. And you got biblical examples that will let you see, well, it's I hear what you're saying, but I'm not hearing what you're saying because I'm not seeing where that comes from. So one of the things that we talked about was that a prophecy is always, always, always going to be, number one, is going to be in season. If God says to you that you're going to receive whatever, or this is going to happen to you, then the reality is when God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So if he says something is going to happen to you, if he says something is going to be released to you, and if he says it's going to be released to you in the fall of 2017, then I'm going to tell you, baby, get ready. Now, you can't get impatient because the first day of fall happens to be in September or sometime. And here it is. Yeah. You're like, you know what? It's October now. And it's like, you know what? This thing ain't came true. It has the season ended. If the season hasn't ended, then I'm going to just tell you, then you're still in the right season. But here's the thing. Here's another thing. If God says it's going to happen in the fall of 2017, and mama, you just so anxious. The Bible tells us be anxious for nothing, but you're so anxious and you're like, you know what? I need it right now. Then just keep on needing. But the enemy knows that when you're anxious for something. So if God has said it's going to happen in the fall, but here you are trying to make something happen to get it in the summer, you must be just cautious enough to know that what you may get in the summer may mess up what God has for you in the fall.
Yes, that's good.
Second thing we brought up was about God's timing. And a couple things we said about God's timing. One, with God's timing and talking about in his prophecies, right?
Yeah.
It may not be convenient for you. It just may not be convenient for you. Second thing is with that, it may not be for you. So you may hear a prophetic financial prophecy because you're in the house, because you're in the church service, because the person who is speaking that prophecy or that prophecy or whatever it is coming out of their mouth. And you just are saying, well, you know what? Since I'm sitting here, I got to receive it because it sounds good. God has a new car in your future. And so here you are sitting, can't drive from your front door to the neighbor's door without the car cutting off. You can't tell me that you ain't going to receive that prophecy, mama.
That's right. Especially if you've been praying for it.
Yeah. Or especially if your car just broke down the day before.
Yeah.
But it may not be for you. So you have to understand that. And then the third thing is, it's going to happen at the appointed time, whether you want it to happen or not.
Okay.
It's going to happen at the appointed time, whether you're going to – listen, let me tell you how I know it's going to happen at the appointed time, whether you like it or not. Because in the Bible, we know that the people of Israel, God said that they were going to enter into a place of captivity for 70 years.
Yes.
70 years was how long he said they will be under Babylonian captivity. Now, we can theologically debate 66 years or 68 years. We can debate that if you want to. Do it somewhere else. But here's what we know. They weren't going to get out of captivity until God said so.
Amen.
So that prophecy was going to be fulfilled through that appointed time, whether they wanted to get out of it or not. And what did we say, the third thing we said about prophecy in general is to go back and look at Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So if it is God's prophecy, you don't even have to worry about it not coming to pass.
Yeah.
Because why would God send out a prophet and say, this is what I'm going to do for you, son. This is what I'm going to do for you, daughter. And then it doesn't come out. Well, hold on. We know that God does not lie.
Yes.
So if it did not come to pass, if it returned void, then that means what God is saying is a lie. And if that's, and since that's not the nature of the God that I serve, then I got to stand on Isaiah 55:11. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then, and the other thing about this thing about God's timing is there's, it's going to be according to God's word. Now, I'm not saying prophecy is going to be attached to a scripture, because every prophecy in the Bible doesn't have a scripture attached to it. It became scripture. But here's what we do know. John chapter 10, verse 27. Some of y'all have heard this before. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So you have to know that God's spoken word to you makes all the difference in the world. But it's not so much just about what God is speaking, Mama. It says,
yes.
My sheep hear my voice.
Hear, yes.
So whose voice are you listening to? And he says, I know them, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me because they know my voice. And they follow me because I know them. So he's already knows what God already is putting out there or is designed to put out there for you and I.
Yes.
If you're listening to the voice of God, you call yourself one of God's sheep. Yeah, then you'll follow him. Seems like it's very simple. Yeah, I guess a lot of us may struggle a little bit with different things about receiving certain things in the Bible as well. But it's all good.
Yes.
So tonight, Mama, tonight, again, examining the waiting period, examining the waiting period. Here's something I want to just put out to us. And when I say this, I want y'all to receive it. Receive it as I'm giving it.
Okay.
You're ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Stop letting people throw watered down money prophecies on you. Stop letting people throw watered down money prophecies, watered down financial prophecies all on you. If they're from God, then it will come to pass. But watch this. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? So that's the vein in which I'm coming, Mama. I want to hear from you before we get into it. If you have something that you want to bring back to our remembrance, something that was exciting for you on last week, or even, you know, where your thoughts are from this particular theme that we're focusing on tonight of examining the waiting period.
Okay. One thing is that, to me, one of the most important things is not us to be anxious and try to make it happen. Because like you said, if God said it, you're hearing his voice, then it shall come to pass. He says you have to be alert. You know, wake up out of our sleep. You know, wake up just being content and wanting to, I think, just rely on a word coming from another person, from God. Because he says, you know my voice. You know my voice. But he wants us, as I go back to Proverbs 3:3-5, he said, trust in me with all your heart And he says, do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I shall direct your steps. So when we're leaning on man, you know, to give us a word, you know, just give me a word. What is God saying to you about me? You know, because the person has a I'm going to say, a reputation. And that particular person we're attracted to, maybe the male or female who's given the word, they have to be really careful with that. Because after a while, God does not, after a while, you won't, I believe a person won't hear God's voice. Because if we're depending on this person that, to give us this word, do you have a word for me? You know, this is not the way, this is not the order, to my understanding, of God.
Now, are you talking, Mama, are you talking about a word like as is somebody preaching, or have you shifted
no,
to
I'm
that?
No, I'm talking
or
about
you...
a word of prophecy, you know, like a prophet.
Okay.
Yes, I'm
gotcha.
Sorry, I should make myself clear. Mm-hmm. A prophet comes to town, and different prophets that, you know, you hear, you hear, and then, you know, my gosh, you know, that's it. That's the one. And sometimes people think that's the only person that God speaks to, the only prophet that God speaks to, because, you know, it's, again, how we are taught and what we are not taught. So if you don't know, you don't know. But one thing you do know, that God's word backs up what he says. And, you know, we may not understand it all, but if we just, that scripture, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I want to trust you to guide me here because I don't know. Some people have never been prophesied to. Then one day they get prophesied to, and they just really don't know, never been taught it, maybe never thought about it. But that's why he says, trust me with all your heart. Because even though we may be ignorant to some things, and that's not putting back down anyone down, we don't know, we just don't know. But one thing, we have the word. We have the word. And we can seek him and ask him, talk to him, you know, because he's not the author of confusion. And he doesn't set us up for failure. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's get into it. Mama, while you were speaking, it seemed like we needed to go somewhere else. So we'll do what we can to get back to Genesis chapter 41 and 47. But in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about the various type of gifts. And he mentions to one that he gives prophecy to one person. Not to one individual, but to one he gives, you know, the ability to prophesy, to one he gives the ability for discernment, wisdom, knowledge, healing, all these different types of spiritual gifts. But here's one thing that the Word of God gives us in verse 14. He says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. So watch this. He goes on and says, but you should so desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives. And he's telling them particularly, especially the ability to prophesy. Now, this is what he's telling the churches in Corinth. And then he goes on to talk about speaking in tongues, and he speaks about prophecy. But one of the things that he says is, it's the same for you. If you speak to people in words that they don't understand, how will they know what you're saying? You might as well be talking in an empty space. That's verse 9 in chapter 14. Now, that's what he says, and specifically in relation to part of the conversation dealing with prophecy. So he's going back and forth. But then he goes on in verse 22, the second part of verse 22, and he says, prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers, not unbelievers. So you know what that tells me? Since the word God said is for believers and not unbelievers, then that's something special that he has given to us.
Yes.
He's given us something special for us as believers. So listen, since he, again, that's what the word says. So since he says he's given us something special, then why would we not embrace it? Why would we not take it? But that's not the problem I don't see, Mama.
Okay.
One of the problems that I see is that there's some false prophets out there.
Yes.
And so because there's some false prophets out there, here's what we know. People listen to everything. People listen to everything. So we have to have conversations like this. And the reason we have to have conversations, people don't know what's true and what's not.
That's correct.
A lot of people don't know what's God and what's not. A lot of people can't hear if that's coming from God or if it's not. And I believe last week that we did talk from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, if I'm not mistaken. The word of God gives us a good foundation if you're willing to go into the word and look at it. If it is a prophecy from God, then you do not have to worry about it not coming true. If it's a prophecy from God, then you don't have to worry about necessarily the messenger. I know that may rub somebody wrong a little bit, Mama.
Yes.
But is it the message or is it the messenger? Is it the message or is it the messenger? What's your thoughts, Mama? You've brought up that so many times before about the people.
Well, I think I can say in my walk with the Lord, and especially in the beginning, it was more of the messenger. In my beginning walk with the Lord, it was more of who it was and the title.
Okay.
Yes.
Our conversation tonight, Mama, is not about so much about people. I want people to focus that the conversation tonight is focusing on the prophecy that was said by God. Because, Mama, as you've alluded to, baby, listen, you can sit up here all day long trying to figure out what God is talking about. That's not our job to figure out what God is talking about. God says you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. What else? What you need to figure out? If he don't tell you when that 70-year period is going to start, just know it's coming.
Right.
That's what you need to know. Keep on living and know that it's coming.
Right.
Know it's coming. So let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. I think we can get back into Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, it starts off by talking about Pharaoh, and he had a dream. He was that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. And in his dream, he saw seven fat, healthy cows come out of the river, and they began grazing in the grass. Then he saw seven more cows come up behind them from the Nile, but these were some scrawny and thin cows. They stood beside or next to the fat cows on the riverbank. So then the scrawny, thin cows, they ate the seven healthy and fat cows. And then at that point, that's when Pharaoh woke up. Okay? So then he falls asleep again. Then he has a second dream. Again, this is not a prophecy, right? This is a dream.
Right.
This is not a prophecy, not a dream. So don't be talking about God prophesied to me in my dream. No, you had a dream. Amen. You had a dream. It's okay.
Yeah.
You had a dream. This time he saw seven heads of grain, plump, beautiful, growing on a single stalk. The seven more heads of grain appeared, or then seven more heads of grain appeared, and they were all shriveled up and withered by the east. You see the parallel. Then head swallowed up the seven plump ones. So you see this parallel of the thin. You would think the thin will be consumed by the healthy, but it's the exact opposite. And then next thing you know, Pharaoh wakes up again, and now he realizes, man, I'm dreaming again. So the next day he wakes up in the morning. He's disturbed. He calls for the magicians. He calls for the wise men of Egypt. And then he tells them about his dream. But nobody could tell him what they wanted, what he wanted them to tell him. Nobody could interpret the dream for him. See, there's a difference between an interpretation and a prophecy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Different between interpretation of a dream and a prophecy. Then there was some conversation with the king's chief cupbearer. He told him that I'm reminded today about my failure. This is what he says to Pharaoh. He says, there was a time when you were angry with the chief baker and with me, and you put both of us in prison in the palace by the captain of the guard. And then one night the chief baker and I, they each had a dream, and each one of their dreams had meanings. And then there was this young Hebrew man who was in prison. We know that man to be Joseph.
Yes.
Right? There was a young Hebrew man. He was in prison. He was a slave. And then they told him their dreams, and he told them what the dreams meant. Everything happened just as he predicted. Joseph, I'm getting ahead of myself. So then this chief cupbearer said his position was restored and the chief baker was executed and then called on a pole. So now here comes Pharaoh sending for Joseph saying, okay, get him out of prison, fix him up, had him look all good. You know, you didn't come before the king looking any old kind of way. That should be a revelation to some folk about going to church on Sunday. You don't come up in the presence of God looking all kind of way. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night. No one here could tell me what it meant, but I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. See, he wanted just somebody to interpret, but God had something else in store for him.
Yeah.
So Pharaoh told Joseph what the dream was, gave him the whole story, right?
Yeah.
Told him what he saw. Told him about the cows, the fat cows, the skinny cows. Told him about the grain, seven heads of grain, the thin ones and the plump ones. And then here comes Joseph. He says both of them mean the same thing. He's telling Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. God has given you a sign, Pharaoh. What do we account Pharaoh with being? Somebody who had a hard heart. But remember, this is Genesis. This ain't Exodus.
Yeah.
So the seven thin cows, they come up, and the seven thin heads of wheat, they're withered by the east, which represents 7 years of famine. He says, this will happen just as I've described it for you. He says, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. If that ain't prophetic, I don't know what is. And here's what he gives them. He gives them to it now. The next 7 years will be a great period of prosperity throughout the land. But afterwards, there's going to be 7 years of famine. the famine, the 7 years of famine is going to be so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine is going to destroy the land. See, Mama, this is a PRF related prophecy.
Yes.
He's telling them this is what God is saying is going to happen. Pharaoh, I mean, Joseph wasn't no magician. He wasn't no fortune teller. God has given to him. He tells him this famine is going to be so severe that all of the good memories that you've had are going to be erased. Do you hear that, Mama? All
yes.
of the good years is going to be erased. See, that lets us know something right there. A lot of times people just want to get these prophecies that everything is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always mean that.
Right.
So, collecting crops during the good years so that they have them for the leaner years.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something. God gives prophetic warnings all the time. The question is, do you want to listen to him? See, he even told him, again, he's not speaking on his own. He's not speaking from his own wisdom. He says, look, have them gather all the food produced in the good years that are just ahead. So he's telling them that these good years are actually coming ahead. He's giving them that in advance. So if
yes.
you're being told that you got some good years coming in advance by somebody speaking from the voice of God, why in the world would you not listen? Why would you not listen? I love the last part of what he says, if I can recall correctly. There'll be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come. But otherwise, the famine going to destroy the land. Now, this is not just a thing about regular old money. You talking about something affecting the whole land of Egypt.
Yes.
Here is what God is saying. God is speaking to you, Pharaoh. He's speaking to you as the leader about the prosperity of your country, of your land. Hold on now listen. Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Joseph ain't go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't say, hey, can I get an idea? I got something to tell Pharaoh. Joseph ain't say that. God knew what he was doing when he had Pharaoh to interpret these dreams and then give him that explanation, that understanding. Again, he wasn't like no other. Mama, what's your thoughts so far? I don't know where we're going from here. I don't know where we're going from here, but there's so much in that.
Yes, it is. I'm just thinking about here with us here in the United States. You know, we are just a land of plenty.
Hmm.
We've just been so, God just blessed the United States of America. So much. And I do hear stories of places that's in the United States. You think about California. I heard they can only produce carrots now. So you hear these things. And then I think about how, you know, that's where we were getting food from, our fruits and vegetables from. But now, it's just produces carrots. So I was thinking, thinking of that, and we could have been warned. I don't know personally, but like you say, God is warning us all the time. You know. And I was just, you know, pondering on that.
Imagine being Pharaoh and hearing what you just heard from Joseph. What concessions do you make? What actions do you take when you hear a prophecy like this? That's going to, now see, it may be hard for some of y'all to understand this, to even wrap your head around it, because God may not be speaking to you about a whole country.
Yes.
But the question that we asked last week was, who's speaking over your finances? So if last week the answer is this person, that person, then that's what leads us to where we are right now. Talk about the waiting period. See, this thing can't be expecting God to just go ahead and drop this prophecy on you and then go ahead and fulfill it because you wanted to be fulfilled right now. I've heard watered down financial prophecies, Mama, given to people.
Yes.
And I've heard where people just, oh, they just falling out and yes, 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 yes. Now listen. Can you not go to God and say, God, when is this going to happen? Or maybe you can ask the person that gave it, when is it going to happen? I want you to examine. I want everybody to examine what was being said. Look how specific everything is. Joseph didn't say, I don't know when it's going to happen, but just know y'all about to have some He gave, it was so specific that you just couldn't, you hearing that, Mama, is like, I mean, you had to be like, well, you know what? They better get their stuff together.
Yes.
It's no question. It's no question about it. And then what, the, and what actually happened? Now think about this. You're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. My question to us, and I'm about done, is are you willing to examine what's going on? Are you willing to examine this waiting period? Because during these 7 years of plenty, what are they doing?
Gathering.
They're gathering. They're taking the necessary actions that have to happen that's going to be connected to the prophecy. See, you can't be receiving all these financial prophecies thinking you ain't got no responsibility in what's going on.
Amen.
Think about it. Sister Mary, the Lord told me that you're going to get a brand new car. Okay, well, Sister Mary, let me tell you something. I'm not doubting that that's what God said. But if you think somebody's just going to come bring a car to your door, I don't remember hearing that in the prophecy. All I heard was you're going to get a brand new car. So maybe you got to apply for some credit to get this brand new car. It ain't saying you're going to get it and you ain't going to have to do nothing for it. How many people get new cars with half car notes? That becomes some of this danger, Mama, of these watered-down prophecies that's just so ambiguous that they could fit almost everybody's situation.
Yes.
Almost everybody's situation. If I'm going to look in the Bible and I see how things are in the Bible and we say we're supposed to be operating by the Bible as our foundation, then why in the world would I let you just say any or every old thing over me and not examine it? It doesn't, to me, it doesn't make sense. What else happened in the waiting period? What else happened in the waiting period? They gathered all those crops. They could have sat on their tail and did nothing. But the only way, Mama, that they had prosperity is if they did everything that was needed to be done during their years of prosperity.
Yes.
You're not going to grow your crops and not harvest them. You're not going to grow all these cabbages in your backyard and just look at them like, man, they're so pretty. No, somebody going to have to grab those things about the ground. So for people to believe some of these financial prophecies and to believe, or I won't say believe, I don't know what they do, but to act like ain't nothing that they got to do for this prophecy to be fulfilled seems ludicrous to me. Seems crazy to me. So now what happens after that? They stored up what they need to store up in the plentiful years. And then the Bible tells us that in the seventh and the 7 years of famine began. And it was just as Joseph said. Where did Joseph get this from? He got this from God.
Yes.
He didn't study to be able to interpret dreams. He didn't go to a dream theological seminary. It's something that God gave him. It's the same thing with prophecy. God gives us, gives whoever. I don't know about it. God gives whoever he gives those spiritual gifts to. So now we got the land that's in all the surrounding countries, all of them around Egypt, because it wasn't just about Egypt, but all of them around Egypt. They were going through, Mama.
Yes.
It didn't happen all at one time. It didn't happen all at one time. Just like things going on in people's lives normally doesn't happen all at one time. People going through credit situations just doesn't happen all at one time. Somebody getting fired normally is not just for being late one time. No, a lot of times people have a pattern of behavior. People not being able to get a job. Doesn't happen just because you got laid off. May have got laid off from the last two or three jobs. And now you can't get a recommendation from anybody. So now we read where the famine also hit Egypt, which is something very key for us. Because a lot of times, until certain things actually hit home, people don't want to act.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, people don't want to act. So now as everybody understands that there's famine everywhere, and now Joseph, who is in a position of authority, he's able to open up all of these storehouses. Don't let me get onto this thing about storehouses. Especially if somebody wants to start talking about tithing. But he opened up the storehouses and started distributing the grain to the Egyptians. And now you got all the people that's coming from around to actually buy grain from Egypt. Because that thing was so severe. So here's my question. My question is, when God gives you a financial prophecy, if you can read where there was a whole bunch of things that went into what God spoke from that chapter, Genesis 41, why would you believe that when God releases a prophecy through a man or woman of God to you regarding your finances, that one, there's nothing for you to do in making it come to pass, and two, that you don't have to have any type of waiting period?
That's good.
What God says is going to happen is going to happen. You don't have to force it. You have to be patient. I really want people to be patient. If God so chooses to release a financial prophecy into your life, that you be patient and examine what's going on during that waiting period. Don't get discouraged just because it's not coming fast enough for you. Just because God gives you a financial prophecy that you're going to get a new job don't mean you need to go quit your job today because you're tired.
Amen.
Because the prophecy that God may have spoken to you about getting a new job was predicated by you having a successful track record at your current place. Can I go one step further?
Yeah.
The job that God may have for you down the road, because I've heard these as well. God, you about to get promoted. Okay. But promoted where? Promoted in your same division or promoted somewhere else outside of your own individual division with four employees? Yeah, you could have gotten, there may be a promotion that comes open. But if you're not in tune with God, you're going to think that is the promotion has for me. People need to be patient. I'll continue to say it. People need to be patient. If people don't want to be patient, then what are you saying to God? You're not saying that you really want God's prophecy. You're not saying that you're even accepting it. You just want what you want. And that's really not how God operates, in my experience, Mama. That is all about giving us what we want.
No, it's not.
If he has decided to give you or whoever a financial prophecy, then that's because that's what he wants. And God knows. He knows what we need. He knows what we need. He knows what we desire.
Yes.
Mama, what's your thoughts so far? I think I'm done. You know, I say that about four times. I said I was preaching last Sunday, and I said I'm starting to get like some of my colleagues talking about I'm about to close. I've been saying it about four times right now.
Well, to me, what really this is just stands out to me is that when you were saying that when God gives you a prophecy, you know, I never thought about, I've had prophecy spoken over my life, but I never really thought I had to do anything. I mean, really, I just didn't, you know, and it's so important that it is a waiting period. And, you know, it's very true that, you know, in my not understanding this, you know, about prophecy, the order of prophecy, I'm thinking after a while that it's not working, that it's not true, because I'm waiting. But here, and even Faith says there has to be some action. And here you're saying, yes, you can't not do anything. You know, and here Joseph, you know, Pharaoh had to allow Joseph, you know, to do, he gave him a task to do. And he had to allow, you know, Joseph to do it. And because he did, let Joseph carry out the plan, and there had to be action there. There was good, as it was, as you have already stated, there was the good, the good and the bad famine. I mean, it's going to be a bad, it's going to be a prosperous 7 years, good years, and 7 years a famine, and they had to prepare for it. And here, this is what I'm taking from this. You know, it is a preparation period here because it is a waiting period. So what am I doing in that period that I'm waiting? If I'm not doing anything, then I believe I'm going to get impatient because all I'm doing is waiting for this prophecy to come forth. But but it gives me peace when I'm because now I have this knowledge, and if the prophecy is spoken over me, now that I know what to do, I can start, you know, asking God to show me what I need to do, you know, because like you say, it's going to be a season. It's going to be in God's timing. So I have to keep, and everything that's been taught here this evening have to be kept in order for us to really receive what God has for us when he does give a word, you know, to us, and when we do hear his voice. Does that make sense?
And we're going to let Sister Ernestine jump in here, Mama.
Okay.
Man, this is getting good. Sister Ernestine, good evening.
Good evening.
Wow, what an amazing topic tonight. I just want to briefly speak to you all based upon my experience, especially with prophecy and the prophetic, because that's where I come from. I come from our apostolic prophetic ministry. But within that, I really, before, you know, being raised Catholic, you know, my grandmother on my father's side was a Baptist, so I never really understood that that apostolic or the prophetic. I used to see stuff on TV, used to think it was fake, but what I learned through my walk is having a relationship with God, knowing him, the voice of God for yourself, where you know when he speaks to you. And when someone gives you a word, a prophetic word, all that is confirmation. But for you to know that, you have to have a relationship with him. And when it comes to finances, when it comes to anything, health, finances, life itself, I just know, and I was speaking to a friend of mine over dinner on yesterday, being in the realm of God's will for your life or your own will, which is his permissive will for you. And I was sharing with this friend, I said, I don't want potential. I want the promise. And I gave her the example, you know, of Sarah and Abraham, and where everybody know the story of Ishmael, and everybody know that he wasn't the promise. But it was something that they created because they couldn't wait. God already spoke and said, this is what's going to happen, you know. And although Abraham, he believed, but when he got to his wife, you know, she was like, here's my handmaiden. But what's so gracious about God is that his word will not return to him void. If God says this is what's supposed to be, then that's what it is. Sometimes we can either do two things. We can delay our promise or we can forfeit our promise. But if God spoke it, that's what it is. And so they created their own promise, which was because he came from the seed of Abraham, God still ended up blessing Ishmael. But he said it, he wasn't the promise. So we all know who the promise was, which was Isaac. So I want to be in that vein where I hear the Lord and I know that the Lord is speaking. So even no matter who he used, because God can use anyone. And so no matter who he used to speak over my life, I know for a fact because I have a relationship with them that, okay, God, this is you. And sometimes in my prayer life, I will tell the Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to know that I don't want A, B, C, D, E speaking to me. I want you to come. I want to see your sign. Speak, Holy Ghost, through me, to me. And he will do just that. So I don't want people, and I know we have listeners, I don't want people to get in the hype of, you know, the prophetic when people think, okay, let me run to this church and let me run to this ministry. Let me sow this seed so I can get a word. Have a relationship with God. Have a relationship with God. Be in a place, and this is what I love. Even if you go in Deuteronomy, and when he's giving the children, this is what you need to do to be blessed. And he's telling them what it is. He's laying out the blessing. And then there's a conjunction there. And the conjunction is, but if you don't do this, these are the curses. And see, we want to speak about the blessings, but we don't want to speak about the curses when you're disobedient. You understand? So again, they was promised to go into a land flowing of milk and honey. But everybody, and we talk about it all the time at the table, everybody who got the word, his word is returning him void, didn't make it.
The reason why they didn't
make it was out of their own disobedience or their own disbelief. But the promise still was fulfilled as Joshua and Caleb. You can even ask Moses if he's seen it while he was on the mountaintop. But so his word in return voice, I just want you to be encouraged tonight. Whatever the Lord has spoken over your life, whatever he said about you, his word will not return void. You have to believe God, and you have to trust God no matter what. And believe me, I have gotten some prophecies, and I'll never forget one of them. And even when I pray, I'll tell God this. I'll give him his word right back. I remember it was a man that prayed over me years ago. And one of the things he was telling me, he said that in this prophecy, he was telling me how blessed I was and da-da-da-da. And one of the things I never forget, he said, woman of God, he said, God, when you go to a door, and even if the door is closed, God will remove the hinges just for you. And sometimes, when I'm in a state or whatever, and I'm praying in my prayer time, I remind God, and that word was given me about 10, maybe 15, maybe 20 years ago. I said, Lord, you said you remove the hinges just for me. You know, we all know what he said. If he closed one door, he'll open another one. No, God spoke to me and said, and I received that. I hold that in my, I'm his baby. I'm the apple of his eye. He has favor with me. You said, you know, I was like Hezekiah, my face on the wall. You said, you're going to remove the hinges just for me. So I have to remind God, and I'm encouraged. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I'm encouraging you. Remind the Lord what he said to you. Whether he spoke it through someone or whether he spoke it to you during your prayer time, remind him what he said to you. Lord, you said you will heal me. You said, remind him that you'll make a way out of no way. You said for me to put this legacy conference together. You said you'll provide provision for the vision. You said, because his word, I'm speaking to someone tonight. His word will not return void. I don't care how it look. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a testimony. Whoever I'm speaking to, let me help you. Let me encourage you tonight. Let me tell you how good our God is. Let me tell you how faithful our God is. A tornado came to Albany, Georgia. Two in 1 month. Two tornadoes in 1 month in the month of January 2017 came to this city, destroyed half of this city. A lot of us was affected by the tornado. The first tornado didn't get any national attention. So we were just like the victims in Katrina, in the Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. And everybody's seen that on television. But the community had to come together and help one another. That's the first tornado. I was affected by the first one. And the first, you know, it hit my house. So I had damage to my house, in my yard, a lot of stuff. And FEMA wouldn't help me, you know. And then my job got hit. And so on the job, they told us, well, because it was dangerous for many of us to be working in that condition, we have to lay you guys off. We have to put you guys on furlough. So I was laid off work for about 3 months. And during that whole time, the Lord, he continued to provide for me. He continued to take care of me. He continued to allow doors to open for me, and I'm grateful. And during that process, we were told, if you don't get a call by this date, because the center is going under a contract, that means you won't have a job anymore. I went from being laid off my job due to a natural disaster to being terminated from my job. I got the letter saying, okay, we're not going to call you back. The contract is up. You no longer have a position with us. I still have the letter. When I looked at the letter, I had peace because I reminded the Lord, you closed this door. You said you removed the hinges just for me. So I wasn't even worried about it. I started focusing on some other things. 2 weeks later, after I got fired from my job, my supervisor, my former supervisor, called me and texted me and left me a voicemail saying, call me ASAP. When I returned her call, the first thing she said to me was, I need you to come back to work to take this burden off me. Do you want your job? I already went to HR. They already said it's yours if you want it. All you got to do is turn your resume in.
Mm.
I said to her, I'm not coming back if I got the same thing. Mind you, I'm not working. I still have peace. And I still know what the Lord told me. She said, what do you want? I told her what I wanted. She said, we may can't pay you that, but we can pay you this. So I waited a little bit. Okay. I said, well, I'm dealing with some health stuff, so I do need my benefits, and it is more money. So I said, okay, I can always negotiate when I go to the table. So I agreed
Come
to have
now.
The interview. To make a long story short, went to the interview, favor. Just favor, favor, favor. Got the job. Making more money than I was making. And the benefits, the benefits that I had before I left.
Look at God.
But I said all that, and I still know, listen to me closely, that is seasonal because I know my purpose. I know what the Lord already has predestined for me to do. Remember what I said. She said, I need you to come back to take this burden off me.
Mm.
I said, okay. The same woman that called me to come back to take that burden off her, just 3 days ago, I was in her office, and she looked at me, and she said, are you driving? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, take me to the hospital. I had to rush her to the hospital because right there in her office, she thought she was having a heart attack. She knows that I'm more than a worker. I'm a praying woman. She could have asked anybody to take her to the hospital. But when we got in my car, I began to pray. I say, you are here. You will get a good report. I say, you will not die. You will live. And I prayed all the way to the hospital. And I told her, don't come back to work tomorrow. You're going to rest. So she didn't go. This is my supervisor. She didn't come back the next day, but the next morning she knocked on my door. It was early that morning. She knocked on my door, but she left her office keys at home. And I was so happy to see her. That woman was standing. The woman was smiling, and she was well rested. You never know what people are going through. And God began to deal with me. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you, because God began to deal with me, because when I did go back, I had to deal with the same hater. You know how people jealous of you and stuff. And I began to get frustrated. And I said, Lord, now I know you didn't send me back for this. The same thing. And I had a talk with my spiritual grandmother, and my perspective began to change, because sometimes when you are who you are, people are irritated just by the light you represent. And then the Holy Spirit say, I sent you back for her, not for them. So you pay attention to your assignment. And I say, yes, Lord. I had to ask for forgiveness. So now that I have peace, It wasn't even about no money. It wasn't even about no benefits. It's about me being obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
That's right.
So I'm just telling you now, whatever the Lord has said, here I am getting fired, terminated from a job that I do very well. And I believe in excellence. I work like that. And got the paper in my hand. And 2 weeks later, they calling me. I didn't call them. They called me. Hey,
amen.
I need you. That's how God works.
Amen.
So, again, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but when we're talking about prophecy, when we're talking about speak over your own life. Speak over your own life. He said he has given us power in our tongue to speak life or death. Speak life to your bank account. Speak life to yourself. Speak life in your family. Speak over your own life. I'm telling you, God is a God like that. He's greater. He's better than what we can see.
Amen.
I told the Lord, I'll share something else with you. I told the Lord, it's something I was praying about. And I said, Lord, I said, I need a lump sum. And I said, and I told him, and I said, and I don't want it to come through no accident or nobody dying or nothing
mm-hmm,
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, however you bless me, I said, I don't want it coming that way.
Right.
And I got a phone call. My cell phone lately haven't been keeping a charge, so I don't know what's wrong with it. It's just crazy. I took it to the phone people today. But I received a phone call. I was at work, and these people were looking for me, and they called me on my job. And when I got the call, wasn't even looking for it, the person called me and said, when you get off work, go to Western Union. It's some money waiting on you. I was like, wow.
Wow.
The day before, I just called my bank account just to check my bank. And when I realized what was in there, I said, Lord, I got this bill to pay. I got this. Now, how am I going to do this? I get paid, but that's not going to cover it. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not even worried about it. You got me. And I got the phone call the next day. I didn't ask nobody for help. I said, Lord, I thank you.
Amen.
He's a God like that. And that's not even the lump sum I've been praying about. Because guess what my prayer is? I'm praying for the lump sum to be a blessing to his kingdom. Because there's certain things that I see the need out there. And it's certain things that I want to do in ministry. And I want to sow, and I want to be able to be a blessing. And so that's what my prayer was, not selfish. You know, some people, Lord, bless me in this, I can buy a house and get a car. And it was not a selfish prayer. It was truly about the kingdom.
Mm.
So I just want to say again to whomever I'm speaking to, and I promised my brother that I wouldn't be long-winded, but I have to be obedient, that I just want to tell you if I can add anything to the dinner table that has been set tonight, please remember, his word will not return unto him void. Don't you delay your promise. Don't you abort your promise. God's word will not return unto him void. And sometimes it's not even about you. You got to get yourself out the way. Sometimes it's about your child, your children. It's about your coworker, is about somebody you got to be a blessing to. So sometimes it's not even about you. So you have to make sure that you have a relationship with God. I mean, the Lord dealt with me about fasting, and it's something that I'm going to do next week. And he's just been dealing with me because I just want to be so keen, especially in this season where I'm hearing his voice. I'm hearing his voice. So please, if you're in a financial state where you don't know what you're going to do, trust God. Pray, seek him, speak over yourself, speak over your finances, and trust him. Because he said in his word that he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. That's what David said, and we are the righteousness of God. So believe God's word. Believe his word. Trust him. His word will not return to him void. So I speak over your life right now in the name of Jesus. And I ask God right now to just even fill this radio broadcast tonight. The listeners that's on here tonight, Lord, I ask you that you make a way out of no way for them. God, you know what they stand in need of. You know what they've been praying for. God, I ask that you show them your favor. You show them your glory. You show them who you are, because you are our Father. You say, whatever we ask in your name, it shall be given to us. God, I call it now by faith, God, meet the need. I call it out now, God, by faith, God, that we, God, believe you, God, and we, God, we will trust you, God, to do what you said that you will do for us, God. Lord, I ask you right now, God, that even if somebody on this line, God, and they've been going through sickness, God, in their bodies, God, I speak of virtuous healing now in the name of Jesus, God. I speak your blood, God, to flow over them, God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I thank you right now for what you already done, God. I come against the enemy now, God. I curse him now, God. I send him back to the pits of hell now, God. For no weapon formed shall prosper, God. Lord, I thank you right now, God, for what you already have done in the spirit realm, God. Now manifest, God, in the natural realm, God. Lord, turn it around now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I speak peace to their minds now, God. Take away the worry, Lord. Take away the anxiety now in the name of Jesus, God. Touch right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for a global, international touch right now in the name of Jesus. You know who's listening, God. I thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Let my voice, I don't seek it, or don't fire. Let my voice, I don't fire, go to the fire. Let my voice, God, speak through me, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call it to be so now, God. In the name of Jesus, your promise, your glory, God. In the name of Jesus, let it be so, God. And it is so. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
The table is set. I'm done. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm.
What an awesome God we serve.
Adia has something that she wanted to share. And but before she does, let me just tell you, it's amazing that what we talked about last week was who's speaking over your finances. Sister Ernestine was not with us last week for last week's show. Sister Ernestine was not with us. She didn't pull up her chair to the table when we talked from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55 and 11. So that word that shall go out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall go and prosper in that thing where I sent it. She was not here when we talked about that earlier today. In today's show. She wasn't here when we brought that up last week. So I don't think you need too much more convincing about how God is real. We don't have to convince you about how God's word, when it comes out, is coming out to do that which has been purposed by God. So let me Adia, go ahead. Let me stop. Ernestine and got somebody crunk over here.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I just want to first say I thank God for Sister Ernestine and just the words that you
yes.
spoke, and it definitely was a timely word. So I just thank you just for the words that you spoke. The only thing that I just wanted to say, and the Lord just wrote it back up in my spirit, when it comes to prophecy, financial prophecy, prophecy of healing, whatever it may be for that individual or for the group of people, is that, you know, when God speaks a word, it is for him to see that word through in our lives. And I think sometimes, a lot of times, you know, we get a prophecy, and I think in the human form, you know, because we're people and we have experiences and different things, you know, it can get a little frustrating when you're waiting on God's prophetic word to come through. But I have just found out by just holding on and doing what Sister Ernestine said, by telling God, God, you said this, that God, he will always come through with his word. And so when we understand that when God speaks a word, that it's on him to deliver, and he's never not delivered on his word, then all we have to do is rest and be assured in that. And the other thing that mm-hmm. the Lord just laid on my heart was that in our waiting for the prophetic word to come forth as God has spoken, is that it's developing our faith, and it is developing our dependence on him. Because a lot of times we want what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And I just have to say that I can, you know, through my own personal experiences, that I was looking for God to do it one way, and God came and did it another way. And it was in such a way that I could have never fathomed it being done that way. And so I just, you know, just want to encourage everybody tonight just to continue to allow God, that when he speaks a prophetic word in your life, especially over your finances. And I love, again, what Sister Ernestine said about what I want to be able to do when I get that lump sum is for the kingdom of God, is to always give it back to him. You know, he blesses us
yes,
so that we can
yes.
be a blessing to other people. And Genesis chapter 12 talks about that with Abraham. It says, I will bless you so that you can bless others. You will never go without. And so I'm just so thankful for this word. I really didn't have a lot to say on tonight, but was just listening and preparing my heart and mind mentally for my upcoming deployment. But I tell you, I was blessed on tonight. Sister Ernestine, you mm-hmm. definitely hit the bullseye on tonight. And so we just need to always be in a place to receive God's word and to know that he is a strategic God, and nothing that he says or does is without purpose. Hallelujah. It is not without purpose. It is definitely going to do what the word of God says. And when we speak the word back to God, I know that he hears us and that he'll honor us. And I'm just so thankful for the show on tonight. Mm. And that's all that I have to say. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Listen.
Amen.
I love how the Spirit of God just flows through the PRF table. I am so grateful that we have everybody who is connected to the PRF table that allows the Spirit of God to flow as the Spirit of God desires for him to flow. So next week, in light of what we talked about last Thursday, in light of what we, Mom and I, brought to the table tonight, in light of what Sister Ernestine brought to the table after that, in light of what you just said, Adia, we're going to deal with something, and we're going to get deep down in the woods next week. We're going to deal with true and false prophecy on next Thursday. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, just go ahead and start reading Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 22. There's not going to be a beat down on prophets, but you got to understand what God has said about his prophets, or about prophets as well as his prophecies. So if you understand what God has said about his prophets and his prophecies, then the question that I asked to you tonight, or the statement that I brought out about stop letting people throw watered down money prophecies on you.
Yes.
That foolishness won't even come to you no more, because you'll be equipped. And I'll just throw it out there. Y'all know I don't usually do this, but I feel the need to do it. read 15-22, but listen what verse 21 says. You may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? Prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true. You will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared. We may have touched on this back on the first show for this month, but we're going deep down into it, and we're going to let some folk hear some things. That's my hope, that we can actually hear some financial prophecies that I hope to gather before next week. And then let's ask the questions from there. So, Mama, did you have any final comments? I don't even want to say I'm done. I'm full.
No, I'm just full. Thank you.
Amen. So, Adia, we pray for your safe travels to and fro. We're just so grateful for all that God is doing in your life. We're thankful for all that God is doing in all of our listeners' lives. And I am personally grateful and thankful for all of the men and women that God has placed around the PRF teaching ministry to be able to do what we do for the Lord. God has been doing some amazing things in this ministry, not for us, but for other people. In the last couple of weeks, I told y'all that we're teaching at a church on from our giving course, Refuse to Give Out of Ignorance. And when I tell you things that God has been doing over the last 2 weeks particularly, is just totally amazing. So maybe I'll share those off the air, or God will allow me to release some of those. But keep pressing on is what I will say to everybody. Just keep pressing on. Don't stop doing what God has called you to do. And so with that, we just say good night. We love you. God bless you. We speak nothing but life over into your life. Until next week, we'll catch you later on the PRF table. This is Dr. Nate Dunlap. Have a good evening.